do not understand God. And the mistake is simple. The mistake is simple. They believe God is an angry judge. And because you believe that, everything's going to be off. But God is a loving Father. And so once you get that down, once you get the right picture of God, everything in your life takes a different shape. If you get that picture wrong, everything in your life goes downhill. It's impossible to recover. Wrong picture of God, wrong view of life. Right picture of God, everything perfectly in order. So everything is determined by your picture of God. Nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. If you get your picture of God wrong, which most people do, then there's trouble, and there's problems, and there's consequences to all of that. So, wrong picture of God, angry judge, right picture of God, loving Father, that's it, it's over. So the most important teaching in life is, who is God? Who is God? If you know who God is, not just in your head and your intellect, but know in your life who God is, it'll absolutely transform your life. So it's always good to begin at the beginning, which makes the ending easy. In fact, if you never got another lesson in your life, if you only had one lesson, this is the lesson you want to know. Who is God? Remember, they asked Jesus all the time, who are you? Identity is everything. His identity determines my identity. I don't know who I am unless I know who he is. A Buddhist doesn't know who he is because he doesn't know who God is. Got the wrong picture of God. A Buddhist believes that God's mad at him if he doesn't do everything the Buddha wants. So the philosophy, the way of life, the God, the whatever. That's wrong. He doesn't want beer. How many know he doesn't want beer? He doesn't want flowers. God is not into beer and flowers. See? But Buddha, they believe that's what Buddha wants. Well, obviously, mistake. Big mistake. So Muhammad, chop your hand off. I mean, this is not what God wants. So every religion is wrong because they have God as an angry judge that if you don't do what he says, you don't make it to Mecca, or you don't make it to heaven, or Valhalla, or Nirvana, or wherever you want to go. You can't get there the wrong way. So if you have God being an angry judge, you're also going to have yourself working. Now, I don't believe in work. I don't believe in work. I believe God never intended us for work. I believe he intended us for praise, for rest, for celebration, for glorifying God. I believe he intended us to be royalty, not only in the world to come, but in this world. So, most of the world believes in brick making. Make bricks, sweat of the brow, and so on. Okay, fine. I just don't believe that. So, because you believe God's an angry judge, you're going to have to make bricks, make your marriage work, make your families work, you know, do whatever, be a good pastor, whatever. I don't believe that's true. So, it's really, 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 really important that we get down, first of all, who is God? What does he want? Do we know anything about him? Is all we have is our reason or our moral conscience? Because if that's all we've got, you'll end up making bricks. Brick making seems realistic and reasonable to people. And morally, doing your duty seems like the right thing to do. Most people don't do it, but it seems like it's still the right thing to do. Even God in the Bible sounds like he's into angry judge, beat you up if you don't do what I say. Not true at all. You never did understand God. If you read that in the Bible, which most people do, you read that in the Bible, that's because you read the letter of the word and you never did find out. You didn't read between the lines and you didn't keep reading. You just stopped because it seemed to your reason like, yeah, that's right. You don't do right, you get spanked. It's not God. So, getting the right picture of God is everything to you. It's everything to everybody. And I'm sad that most pastors are teaching a false teaching about who God is. But I'm not so sad that I care because God, that's God's problem. I'm just doing this is my group. This is what I'm doing here. I don't really care what anyone else is doing. Mine will win. I'm not worried about how many other people are out there lying. It's just you need to hear the truth. And wherever you can get it, praise God. Now, anybody that agrees with me is right. You can just measure it up. And if they disagree with me, they're wrong. Now, but I am building mine upon the Word of God, and I know they say that too, but I don't believe them. Because they didn't read between the lines. They didn't read carefully. Because you're going to end up making bricks and feeling guilty or being very proud that you made a brick. Either you're guilty because you didn't make one, or you're proud because you did make one. But both pride and guilt are evil. There's no celebration and no fun in either of those. So, I'm right. Now, I'm just saying that. I don't really care about being right. I'm just saying I am right. You've got to get it right. If you get it right, it really works. It really works. It's not just talk. So, let's start with the first one. As we have learned in our series, this is the one that says 1 through 33 on it. Okay? You might have two lessons. I wrote the first one with just 12, but I asked one of the brothers in the church to make 13 out of it, so he did. 33. Thank you. All right. I've never read these, so I have no idea what I just said. But he took them off of my tapes. He took them off of my teachings, so I'm sure they're accurate. Number one, as we learned in our series of teachings on the basics of Christianity for new believers, God is our blank blank, loving Father. God is our loving Father. God is our loving Father. John 15:9, 17:26, Romans 8:15. You get that down, you don't need to learn anything else. If you have one, number lesson one, number one, it's over. Now you can all go home. That's it. If you just learn who God is, you've got everything. Because everything else follows as a consequence. It follows as a consequence. God is a loving Father. The Bible says that God is what? Love. So number two, the blank is love. God is love. The Bible says that God is love. To say that God loves us is to say that His love is completely unconditional. No conditions. Human love is always conditional. God's love is always unconditional. Human love is, I will love you up to a point. The minute you irk me, I will stop loving you. The minute you are obnoxious, I will cut you off. The minute, you know what? So there's some condition. Doesn't matter what it is. Just don't commit adultery on me. Just don't, you know, there's some condition. God has no conditions. Even if you hate Him and kill His Son, it's not a condition of His love. Did you hear that? That is amazing. Even if you kill Him, hate Him, swear at Him, kick Him, beat Him, it doesn't make any difference. That doesn't change His love. Multitudes of people will go to hell and God loved them. He loved them. He did not want them to go to hell. He didn't want anybody to go to hell. God desires not the death of any sinner. Hitler, He doesn't desire his death. The Pharaoh, Haman, I don't care who the bad guy is, or it could be you. He doesn't desire your death. So God is a loving Father, and it's unconditional love. That changes our concept of love, because our concept of love is, I will love you if you don't leave me, or I will love you if you don't do this or do that or whatever. God's not like that. God says, I'll never leave you. And even though Israel has been a harlot to God all these years, his wife, the one he married in the Old Testament, even though she's been a harlot, he just went right back to the wife of his youth. Said, well, I'm going to stick with her. What? She's sleeping with other men. She's off messing around. God says, I don't know. I like the girl. And I'll wait for her. I'll help her. I'll clean her up. How many know that's you and I? It's not Israel. It's us. It's us. And when you get a hold of this, you've got a hold of everything, and it'll change your relationship to everybody else if you ever get a hold of this. That the reason God loves us is because you are a harlot. You are an idolater. You are mean and nasty and deceptive and everything else. I mean, there isn't one adjective that doesn't fit you. It's a perfect description of who you are. Maybe not everything you did, but you would have if you could have. You may not have done everything, but as far as the Bible is concerned, you did, because even if you thought about it, it's enough. Let's say you say, you fool, Jesus says, same as, it's the same as murder. Well, I just said he was a fool. That's the same as murder. And that's not the same as murder. Yeah, to God it is. If you've even lusted in your mind, it's the same as though you did it. That seems a little rough. That seems rough because most of us haven't done it, but we did think about it. All right, we all did. We all did. Not most of us. Everybody has committed every sin in the book. You didn't, you know, this is typical. People will say, let's say there's 10 commandments. I think I've broken 6, you know, or something like this. No, you broke all of them. Whether you did them outwardly or not, God's not into outward, he's into inward. So he wants you to be pure, 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 pure. Not a spot, not a wrinkle, any such thing. Amen? Do you all understand? Get Christianity set up right. Don't make it the way you want it to sound. God even wrote it so you could mess up. He wrote it in such a way that if you want to misunderstand him, you may. But if you want to know the truth, look hard at every sentence he has said and you'll discover the truth. Because it's clear as day. It's just that if you want to trick God, go ahead, because you're not tricking him. You say, well, I read this one verse. Well, so what? Read 2, read 10, read everything until you get it clear. Well, that's hard work. Well, it's not hard work, it's just you're wicked and sinful and you don't want to know the truth. Hello? That's the truth. So we are really tricky people. We are all tricky. The licentious among us, the legalistic among us, everybody's tricky. One trick is just, you know, my cup of tea is this trick, your cup of tea is this trick, but it's all the same. And God sees through all of it. He doesn't want the tree of the knowledge of good or the tree of the knowledge of evil. Doesn't want that tree at all. Doesn't care if you're good or you're evil. It's the same to him. You all go to hell. Anyone who eats of the tree of the knowledge of good goes to hell. Human good won't please God. Human evil won't please God. But the evil is probably better than the good. If you were to ask God, he would say, I'd rather that you be cold than that you be lukewarm. So good is lukewarm because it isn't what God wanted. It was just your idea of good. So when you're at your best, it stinks. It's a stench to God when you're at your best because now you believe you please God when you didn't please God. So you've added to your sin hypocrisy. The biggest sin in the New Testament is not adultery or murder. It's hypocrisy. Legalism. The New Testament is not discussing don't, you know, break the Ten Commandments. The New Testament is not discussing that. That was Moses. He did that in the Old Testament. The New Testament is, don't be a hypocrite and a liar. But so is the Old Testament if you read it carefully. But there's lots of passages given over in the New Testament not to murder and adultery and so on. Once they even brought a woman that committed adultery and Jesus wouldn't condemn her. The New Testament's more interested in the hypocrite that was going to condemn her than the woman that was caught in adultery. And he said, you know, okay, here's the deal. Whoever hasn't committed adultery, it's all right for you to go ahead and throw the first stone. So would the eldest among you, would you please start? And the guy walked over with his big stone, and Jesus just stooped down in the sand, and he wrote down, Mary Ellen, April 3rd, last month. And the guy looked at it and went, oh my gosh, he knows about me. Threw his stone down. The next guy walked in, well, he erased that, because it's just written in the sand. Next guy rose up and he said, well, I'll throw one at her. He went, Mary Jane plus Nancy. He scratched that guy's name out, and that guy took off. Until he got down to the last one, there was nobody left to condemn. Jesus said, neither do I. Go and sin no more. Of course you've sinned. Go and sin no more. Stop sinning. Repent. Don't sin anymore. That's how to make a good disciple. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Amen? We need a God, not like Buddha, not like the Hindu thing, not like Muhammad and, you know, all that stuff. We need a God that's an unconditionally loving God, a God that'll forgive us when we're treacherous as well as when we're obviously evil. We need one that'll catch the hypocrite as well as the obvious. So, we've all sinned and fallen short. We've all sinned and fallen short. Let's just say that so I want to make sure everybody's on the same page. I have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. See, that was, but it's good that you said it. It's good that you joined the human race. Now we're all in the same boat. We would all go to hell were it not for the love of God, which is unconditional. Because one sin, breaking just one, and by the way, you've broken a few more, but anyway, even if you just committed one, it's enough to send you to hell. You break the law in one part, you've broken the law, you are a law breaker. Somebody says, well, he actually murdered 50 people. It doesn't make any difference. If you murder one, you go to jail. Well, honey, I only had adultery with, I think, two people. That other guy had 10. So you should be happy. No, she's not happy. You break one, you've broken them all. Do you understand? There's no, this thing of sin, God just doesn't like it. And what he's telling you is, but it's okay if you do it, I'll still offer forgiveness to you because I love you unconditionally. So just stop lying. Don't come and play the hypocrite. If you've sinned, just say it. I have sinned. Now, even little children can sin. How old are you, Joel? 10? Have you committed a sin every year of your life, do you think? Probably 10? More? A million? A 10-year-old who's committed a million. Wow. I mean, that's a lot. But that's probably short. Because even little bittiest kids, they know what sin is. At 2 and 3 years old, kids are already feeling guilty. It's a big weight on them. And if you tell them to behave themselves and so on and so forth, and you don't let them know that you're just talking about outward, but you're actually saying, I want you to be good, you're mixing that little kid up. Because being good is different than behaving good. We never told our children to be good. We never said, now you kids be good. We never said that. We just said, behave well. You know, just do what we tell you to do or we'll whip you. I mean, that's it. All we want is outward behavior. But you don't go to heaven based on outward behavior. You just, you know, don't get a spanking. That's all. That's because we love our children. And never put pressure on them to lie and be phony and be a hypocrite. But we told them about Jesus right off. And I remember when, was it Margaret? Peggy, you know, was it Margaret? Margaret was 3 years old. She walked in the bedroom, flew open the door. Mom and Dad, what? You know, we were just had our bad breath still. And, you know, just what? My sins have been forgiven. I can sleep in the big bed. Walked out. What was that? Have no idea. It just like blew us away. I'm not afraid. My sin, because she, we were telling her, you got it. Now you're getting big. You need to sleep in the big bed now and stop getting in the crib thing. It's time you learned. Here, look at this. This is where you're going. But she was still afraid, so we let her sleep in the crib. But that time she got up and said, I'm not afraid. My sins have been forgiven. It was a non sequitur. It's like, you're not afraid because your sins are forgiven. That is amazing. But that was so accurate. But how'd she figure that out? I mean, we didn't ask her. It just amazed us. How can a little kid have sins that they know about, and then all of a sudden they're gone, and she has no more fear? What does sin have to do with laying in a crib? See, little kids are smart. They are very much weighed down by fears and sins, and they know stuff. Every little kid knows there's, you know, an angel, a good angel, and a bad angel, or whatever. They just figure that kind of stuff out. I don't know how they do it. Number three, everything in Christian growth or discipleship is the blank, begins with God and who God is. Who God is. Discipleship, who? Everything in Christian growth or discipleship begins with God and who God is. Four, legalism teaches that God is angry at us when we sin. That's a lie. God is not angry at you when you sin. When you sin, God is not angry at you. He's angry at your sin. Did you see the subtlety of what I said? Get this down because it'll change your brain waves. It'll change your mind. You've got to understand this. When you sin, God is not angry at you. He's just angry at your sin. He hates sin. Doesn't hate you. But you must separate yourself from your sin, or you will perish with the sin that he's hating. So you go, God, that was sin, but I'm not owning it. I did it, but I'm cutting it off right now. I'm going to take mercy. So cover your sins with mercy. In fact, you can't even go into the house of God unless you have sin. You have to go in with sin, but you need to go in with the sin covered by the blood. If you come into God's presence with no sin, he will strike you dead. He doesn't want you in there. You must come in with the blood. There is no such thing, of course. It's an oxymoron. Everybody must come into the presence of God with the blood covering them. Because there's no one sinless except Jesus. And even Jesus, when he came into the presence of God, took our sins upon him and died. That's the way to do it. So Jesus bore our sins so that we could be acceptable in the presence of God. Now, when you come before God, you still have sin. It may not be in your heart, but it's in your soul. It may not be in your heart, because we're not talking about heart here. We're not talking about who you are in Christ. We're talking about where you are, what you're all about, how you're functioning, what the part we see. We don't see your faith. What we see is your fruit. So discipleship is all about getting fruit, not about saving you. We're not trying to save you. You're already saved. We just want to get saved people fruiting. We just want to get saved people bearing fruit that endures, fruit that, you know, love. That's basically what it is love. We just want to get the love out. Legalism teaches that God is angry at us when we sin, number four. It's impossible for God to be angry at us because God's love. It's impossible for God to be angry at us because God is love. God spent all his anger on Jesus at the cross. So, if you hadn't accepted Jesus, then he's still angry at your sin, but you're going to perish with your sin, and he doesn't want that. That makes him mad that you're willing to perish when he's offered a way out. So whenever you sin, I don't want to say if, I'll say when. Whenever you sin, it's all right. Just make sure you put your faith in the blood and then go into his presence. God is not offering, five. God is angry at your sin, but he loves you, the sinner. God hates sin, loves sinner. God is angry at your sin, but he loves the sinner. In the scriptures. Number six, God is not offering the law to us, but rather the gospel. God is not offering the law to us, but rather the gospel. The reason is nobody can live up to the law. The only thing the law can do is expose you, condemn you. The law cannot help you. The law cannot give life. It can point out that you're dead, but it can't give you life. There's no mercy in the law, none. And there's no power in the law, none. All the mercy's in Jesus, all the power's in the Holy Spirit. So the law, without Jesus and without the Holy Spirit, can only kill. The letter of the law killeth, but the Spirit of the law giveth life. Six, God is not offering the law to us, but rather the gospel. The law was given only to expose our sin. People who are still hearing the law never repent, but only modify their behavior. So Jewish people who look religious, they're at the Western Wall and they're bowing and they're repeating the Torah, whatever. That's not pleasing to God. God hates that. It looks so religious and they look so sincere and they got their little hats on and they're up there. And they're repeating all the scriptures. You know, that doesn't please God at all. God hates that. Because they think that by doing something, they're pleasing God, and God hates it. When he's already provided Jesus, and they won't run to Jesus, that makes God angry. Because he provided a free way for them, and they don't have to be doing this, or whatever else they do. God doesn't want that. He hates it. You can't add anything to what he's already done. He gave you a free gift, and he doesn't want you paying for your sins because you don't have enough money. You can do this all day long, and it doesn't pay for anything. It's just absolute rebellion and sin and wickedness. Did you hear what I just said? This is strong. This goes against everything that man believes, but everything that man believes is a lie. Religion stinks. It's worse than sin. God would rather have an adulteress than he would have someone doing this. He hates that because he didn't appoint that way. He told them, I've got a way. This is the way. Believe on him. I want you to know my love. Forget my outward stuff and my laws and all that. Here's what I want you to see, my heart. This is my heart. Forget my law. Here's my heart. I want to marry you. You don't understand. Forget all that law stuff. You never did keep it. You're a liar. You're a phony. You're a fake. You never chin the bar. So let's stop that. Here's another way. Plan B. This is plan B. Plan A was anybody who can be perfect, you can come into the house of God. But nobody ever came. So the only one that came through that door was Jesus, and we killed him. So that kind of ruined your shot right there. You ruined your thing. It's, who killed my boy? Well, it's your people, for one. The Jewish people? Those are my good people. Jewish people killed Jesus, but so did the Romans, and so did you and I. Our sins killed Jesus. It wasn't just Jewish, it wasn't just Roman, it was all of us. We all killed him because we didn't like him. And that's because we were trying to get back at God. That's how deep your sin is. Does everybody know that? That's the depth of every sin that you ever commit. Every sin you ever commit, however small it is, it's just another way of killing Jesus. There is no such thing as two sins. That's the only sin there is. Jesus defined sin for us in John 16 chapter. He said, and when the Holy Spirit has come, he will convict of sin because they believe not on me. That's the only sin there is. Every other sin is just that. It's just because you don't believe in Jesus. So there is no other sin. You can't say anyone's going to go to hell because of adultery. They're not going because of adultery. They're going because they didn't believe on Jesus. You don't go to hell because you didn't get up there and put a beanie on and worship on Saturday and all that stuff. That has nothing to do with anything. You're going to hell because you didn't believe on Jesus. And I don't mean just believe on him superficially. I mean with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength. Yahoo! That's powerful. Again, I would that all pastors were teaching as clearly and as strongly about these obvious things, but they're not. And I'm not critical of them because I don't think they know. It isn't like they know and they just won't say it. They don't know, but they're wrong. You've got to get this clear. If you don't get it clear, you're going to perish. Without a vision, my people perish. For lack of knowledge, they're destroyed. So there's no, that's why we have not won the world yet. That is the last harvest. It's because we haven't told them the gospel. That is, lived it out. It's not just a bunch of words, but lived it out. They don't disagree with the scriptures. They just interpret it completely religiously, legalistically. That's why there's no discipleship. Again, remember, I'm not talking about being born again. I'm not talking about regeneration. I'm talking about the fullness of salvation. It's not he who begins, but he who endures to the end. So I have no confidence in all those Baptist things and Jewish things and whatever, Catholic things. I don't have any confidence in that. Maybe they're in, maybe they're not. I don't know if that God knows. But I just know this. You're not following the scripture. I know it's not Christianity. Are you hearing? What I'm saying is, I'm not judging whether they're Christian or not. Maybe they are, maybe they're not. Maybe they started, maybe they didn't. I don't know. All I know is this. Why aren't you going all the way? Why would you want to stop halfway? I mean, there's a lot of other scriptures there. Why are you just relying on how cheap can I get in? I don't know. It's just not my question. It's not my question. It's, now, God, what's the cheapest I can get in on? Is this the bargain day? I thought this was. It's half sale, isn't it, today? You know. And God is going, no, I was thinking, you know, we'd take you all the way. I want a bride without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. I don't think that's what most people are thinking. They are not thinking, let's really, literally take God seriously in this world. Most people are thinking, it's just too much. It's too high. I mean, no, it's not too high. He is not wanting you just to be the best you are. If he was, he wouldn't have come. It's kind of like, no, just do your best you can. That's cute, but it's not God. Jesus didn't die for that. Just, honey, just do the best you can. That is great. I think most ministers are, you know, they're like, well, you did the best you could. I don't think God wants the best you can. I think he calls that vanity. Man at his best state's altogether vanity. I don't think that's what God wants. Hello? You know what I think he wants? I think he wants you to be joyful all the time. First base. First base is utter happiness. I think he wants that. I think he just wants you to be utterly happy all the time. I don't know, some of you are frozen chosen. I mean, you just don't look like you're that excited about what Jesus Christ has done for you. You know, I mean, it's too exciting. I don't know how you can keep still in your seat. When you're in love, I mean, when the God of heaven and earth loves you, saves you, fills you with His Spirit, and provides such good leadership like Pastor Jim, I tell you, I would be excited. I would be excited. It's a joke. But, you know, it's too much to me. God has done so much, I'm never going to be miserable. Did you hear me? Gouge my eyes out, you know, chop me up, you know, destroy my family before my eyes. I'm sorry, I'm not going to be unhappy. Unhappy. I am joyous about Jesus Christ. I don't care how wicked man is. I was one of those. Does that make sense? I'm not. That is not what ministers to me now. What ministers is this truth that sets me free from this world. And I don't have any control in this world. I am not the blessed controller of all things. God is. And He told me not to worry. Okay, I'm not going to. He told me rejoice always. Okay, I'm going to. He also told me, in the world you have trouble, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. So I'm going to. Now, I'm not going to take that as a goal. I'm going to take that as a reality today. I'm not like, well, I hope someday I become a Christian like that. You'll never get there if you hope someday. You know, my wife picked up on that early on in our marriage. You know, I said, well, do you love me? I said, well, you know, what did you mean by that? What you know? And she picked up right away. Jim, if you don't love me right now, you're never going to love me. Well, we're working on that. We're just getting to that point. You know, she wanted it right then. Actually, what she wanted was for me to say it. I would always say, yeah, I love you. Well, you don't look like it. You're not acting like it. Could you please say it? I said, didn't I say that when we were married? Do I have to repeat it every day or something? You know, I'm a German. We don't do it like that. See, in my family, I never heard that kind of stuff. But she said, I don't care about your family. In my family, we did. You're going to do it. I'm not doing it, Peg. That would be, if I changed my mind, I'd tell you, honest, I would. I'm still in love. I just don't want to say it all the time. Well, that's what I want. So, you know, Peg, you know, laid the law down, and I think she's right. That was good. That killed me. I didn't want to say it every day. Well, if it's true, then say it. Well, okay, well, I love you. Well, no, say it with a little more meaning. I love you. I don't want to say it. It scared me. I don't like saying it. You know, so she forced me until I said it. Isn't that good?
Yeah.
Did you see that? That breaks this German. Germans are stubborn. I don't know if anybody here is German. Anybody here German? Yeah, they're stubborn people. It's a good thing I was Irish too, because I could laugh about it, but I was stubborn. All right. 6. God's not offering the law to us, but rather the gospel. The law was given only to expose our sin. People who are still hearing the law never repent. They only modify their behavior. You might think Moses could convict you. Moses has never convicted anybody. The law, the finger of the law, has never convicted anybody. You know what makes you convicted of your sin? It's the love of Jesus. It's the goodness of God that leads to repentance, not the law. The law just makes hypocrites. All the law can do at best is to make a hypocrite. Because it's only exposing you. I don't have the goods. I don't care how much it says I did wrong, that doesn't make me do right. And it doesn't have any mercy for me. So, you know, I'm just tempted to lie then. Now, did you eat that cookie? No. I mean, maybe a little bit. If Peggy makes cookies, she always says, now, Jim, these are for the party tonight. Don't eat one. And I'll just kind of go by and pick one up, and then I'll turn around and go and I'll eat it. And then she counts them. She come back, she'll say, Tim, did you eat one of these cookies? No. No. Well, maybe a broken one. There was a broken one. Of course, I broke it, you know. I'm naughty. I just have a naughty streak. Does anyone have a naughty streak? I don't know. I just have a naughty streak to me. I just naughty. You know, don't make good cookies. When you make good cookies, I'm going to eat one. So They just smell good, and then you can't stop with one. Hey, could you make another batch? What did you do? I ate three. You know, I just keep eating them. All right. Where am I? 7. If you think God is angry with you, you cannot even begin Christian discipleship or growth, because everything begins with who God is. And God is love. L-O-V-E. God is love. 1 John, you know, says that. God is love. God is love. So everybody say it. God is love. Now, then he can't be an angry father. I know he's angry, but not at me. He's angry at my sin. He's angry at the devil. He's angry at the enemies, but he's not mad at me. And he's not mad at any human being. Every human being can get in because he hates not. He doesn't want any sinner to die. None. Even the worst. Doesn't want them to die. He's made a way for them through Jesus Christ that even the worst person on earth could get in through Jesus Christ. All they have to do is repent. You don't know that Mother Teresa, at the last moment of her life, didn't repent of all of her Catholic works and put her faith in Jesus. I tricked you by giving what you thought was an obvious, but she could have been wicked beyond measure. What if she was proud of herself for doing all the work she did? She'd have had to go to purgatory for about 14,373 years for that. You see? So, but she might have put her faith in Jesus at the last minute, but so did Adolf Hitler. You don't know. You have no idea what people do. It doesn't matter how much of an atheist or communist or whatist they are. Anybody can repent. The whole thing is up to you. What did you show them while they were alive? Well, how did you live in such a way that they saw the light in your life? You know, most Christians don't have a convincing life to people. You can be working with people for years and they go, I never even knew you were a Christian. You know, it's just like, if you hadn't had that bumper sticker on your car, I wouldn't have known. People don't know by your works, but they should know. They should see it by your fruit, by your works, by your peace, by your joy, by your love, by your the miracles you can perform and so on. They should see that there's a kingdom of God among them. Amen? Anytime there's a darkness, you bring the light. Anytime there's war, you bring peace. Anytime there's trouble, you know, you should be the kind of person that is part of the kingdom of God, just like Jesus. Wherever it's hopeless, you bring hope. Wherever it's dark, you bring light. I mean, I don't care what the problem is, you have the answer. You've got Jesus. Amen? You can never depress me. It doesn't matter what, I know you're trying to think of all the things that could depress me, but it's not going to work. Even if I fall for a few minutes, I'll repent right away and I'll get right back. It takes me a few minutes, but I've told you before, we put the phone in the kitchen so that by the time I get out of bed and I'm angry at 2 o'clock in the morning, by the time I go down the hall and Jesus meets me in the hallway in his pajamas and says, Jim, now, just think right now. Whoever it is that's calling you is in a bar, yes. But rejoice, because this is a good thing. All things work together for the good. And by the time I pick up that phone, I'm, well, praise God, I'm glad you called. Rather than, what are you calling for? You know, you want to be killed? Because that's what I feel like. You know, I hate you. I don't know who you are, but I hate you. Don't even tell me who you are. You know, I was having a dream. I was dreaming about Jesus. You've made me so mad right now, I could kill you. And so that's why the phone is way at the end. It just takes a long time. We have a long hallway, and it just takes a long time to get down there. And I've repented by the time I've gotten there. Because you wake me out of a dead sleep, I'm liable to kill. I mean, that's just like, you know, sometimes Peg will wake me up, what? You know, and I just, you know, I just want to tell you your breakfast is ready. Oh, okay. So I don't like to be awakened like that, you know, it just scares me. Eight, the legalist is working to please God. The legalist is working to please God because he believes God is hard and demanding. He is therefore, the legalist, hard on other people. A legalist believes God's hard on him, so he will be hard on himself, and then he'll be hard on other people. So if you think God is hard on you, you will be hard on yourself, and you'll be hard on other people. Wrong picture of God. A legalist believes God's an angry judge. They believe that God's mad at you for not being perfect or not being better or not improving or not working on it. I never make bricks. I got out of brick making when I left Egypt. I'm not making bricks anymore. Everything I do, I want to do. Whatever I do, I want to do it. If I tell Peggy I love her, I want to. If I tell you I love you, I want to. Nobody's making me do it. If I go to work, I want to. If I worship God, I want to. I'm not doing anything I don't want to. I drink all the beer I want to. I just drink all the beer I want to. I just don't want to. But I'm just drinking all I want to. I swear all I want to. Just don't want to. Do you understand? So everything I do, I want to. That's a wonderful way to live because you're free. But a legalist cannot do what he wants to. He has to do what he doesn't want to. So he suppresses himself. He represses himself. And he's afraid to express himself because he was never crucified. The way I change is not by legalistically doing what I don't want to. I just go and get crucified. Jesus, I think I'm mad at that person. No, you're not. You actually love him. I do? That crucifies me. I have to think about that, Jesus. Wait a minute. You mean I'm not mad at them? No, you're not. You love them. Oh, okay. Well, I didn't know that. You mean I don't want to choke Peggy right now? No, you don't.
Some thought does cross your mind.
Yes.
You accept it.
Yes. Right.
Not drinking the beer or saying the square.
Right. Exactly. So, but a legalist, see, doesn't go and get that crucified by faith. He just simply doesn't express it. You know, I won't drink the beer, I won't swear. A licentious person will just drink the beer and swear. A severe Christian who's, you know, schizophrenic and weird, he'll actually think he didn't swear even though he did. You see what I'm saying? I mean, he might swear on the inside, but on the outside, said, God bless you. But on the inside, he was swearing. Now, that's a crazy person. So, but I don't do that. I just go, I would have sworn, I would have drunk the beer, whatever it was, whatever nasty thing or horrible thing, I would have done that. But I took it to Jesus and I said, Jesus, who am I? And he said, well, I'm in you. So you're going to treat Peggy the way I would treat her. Oh, could we just get her a little bit? No. We're going to bless her. Oh, okay. And that's crucifixion. That will crucify your flesh. I'm not just doing that legalistically. I'm not just doing that. I'm actually spending the time with Jesus till it's dead. Do you understand? So now I'm doing what I want to. I want to go and love Peggy. I'm excited about it because I know I am a Christian. But I work that through. I don't just play act it. I don't just kind of legalistically do it and hope I catch up later. No, I just, right there. Just drop out right there. Holy Spirit, you know, who am I? And I'll just get, and I'll start praising the Lord, and pretty soon, I'm free. Does anybody know what I'm talking about?
So you sincerely didn't drink the beer.
That's right. Absolutely. As I said, I could drink it all day long. I've, you know, no problem with it. I never have. Never. I've never taken an aspirin. Never. I just don't do lots of things because I don't want to. But no one can catch me. Nobody knows what I do. I could go in the car and swear. I wouldn't do it here because I lose my job. But I could do it in the car, and no one could catch me. I could do it 3 times in a row. No one could catch me. I just don't want to. But I don't legalistically not do it. It's not like I'm wanting to do it and I just hold it back. Or it's not like I talked myself into it and said, you don't really want to swear. No, I wanted to do it. I took it to Jesus. And he corrected me. He said, Jim, that's not who you are. It isn't? I think it is. No, it isn't. Let's talk this over. And we spent a little time talking. Pretty soon, he's exposed me. And I'm repenting, and I know he's right. I'm free. Not just, you know, me making myself behave. I never do that. Peggy can tell you that. I have never, ever tried to be nice. I'm not nice in myself. Only Jesus is nice through me.
Yeah.
So if you've ever experienced niceness coming out of me, it was a miracle. It was a miracle. It wasn't nice. In fact, I've never met anyone as nasty as I am. I have never met anyone as nasty as I am. Never. Never. But I don't express it. Not because I'm holding it back. Not because I'm pretending like I'm something I'm not. But because I took it to Jesus, and Jesus said, no, that's not you. We killed that on the cross 2,000 years ago. You know, you need to find out who you are. And when I believe that, not just say it or pretend, when I believe that, you're free. And I realize, wow, that's the truth. I really am a new creation. The old has passed away, the new has come. So a legalist is going to be hard on himself because he's trying to say, let's do the right thing here. This will be helpful. I don't do what's rightful and helpful. I'm going to just spend time with Jesus. I spend so much time with Jesus that he's just always exposing all my sin. By the time I get to some sinner, they're nothing compared to me. I've never met anybody more sinful than I am. I learn that every day. It's not like what I did yesterday. Every day the Lord shows me new, fresh sins, and I'm just always amazed at how wicked I am, how shallow I am, how evil I am, and so on. It doesn't bother me. It's not like that scares me. That's what it's all about. I'm able to admit that every day. I've never met a sin I haven't sinned. I haven't maybe expressed it outwardly, but I wanted to do it inwardly. Jesus said, even if you've lusted after a woman in your heart, you've already lusted. Well, I've done that. Even if you've gotten angry and you've thought, you fool, you've already murdered. Well, I've done that too. I mean, I don't care what it is, I've already done it or thought it or felt it. And in God's eyes, it's the same. You get the same punishment. You are liable for the hellfire. You are liable for whatever a murderer would have got, you would have gotten that because you thought that guy was a fool. Even if you didn't say it, just to think it. I've thought that. In fact, I think that so readily, I can just drive by a crowd of people, I don't even know anybody, and I think, those are fools over there. I mean, I can just do it so rapidly. Is anyone as good as I am, as quick like that? I am so quick. I can look at somebody and just tell right away, that is an idiot right there. They're right there, that's an idiot. You know, I just tell it, and I'm correcting people all the time. Gee, your nose is, that's way off. You know, and I'm constantly looking people over and correcting them. Does anybody else do that? I mean, I just in seconds, I am brilliant about what's wrong with a person, just the clothing they wear, the way they carry themselves and everything. It's just, I don't know, I just do it without. Absolutely. Because Jesus will talk to me, Jim, what are you doing? Well, I'm just judging this idiot over here. Well, Jim, let me ask you a question. Okay, I feel this is a trick question, but what are you going to ask? Are you an idiot? Absolutely not. Not like this person. Just compare the two of us, God. I said, all right, let's go back to yesterday afternoon. You know, it's like, oh, all right, okay. And I'm convicted that I am a worse idiot than that person. And then it really happens. This is not a joke with me. It really happens. And that's how you do it. I just come clean right into the light. Jim, were you judging that person? Yes, sir. What did you want to do? Kill him? That's not a good idea, is it? No, sir. But that's what I wanted to do. Now I want to kill you from, you know. And I just simply go for it. You see, there's no holes in me. There's no, the snakes just come right out. But in a few seconds, all the snakes are dead. And I realize, well, only God could do that. Only God can catch all my snakes like that. I would hide them all. Jesus, look out, there's a snake just about to bit you there. It's a good thing I was here to hold that back on you, because you're going to get that one. do you understand what I'm saying? Most people do that. Most people that you meet are always protecting you from their own snakes. You know, it just comes out like that, and it says, just stay down there. They were about to bite me, and that, thank God that person protected me from that snake. Do you hear what I'm saying? No, just I actually, you know, tickle them and let your snake out. Oh, ouch. You're a biter. You see? Peggy's got a lot of snakes in her, and they just don't come out to the normal public. But I just get her in the house, and I'll just get all her snakes out. It's not, just doesn't take seconds, and she's got them all out. I know all her snake buttons. Does anybody else know how to play that? You know, I mean, that's just fun. Because what is it? It's just sin. She doesn't mean it. She doesn't mean it. That's just her flesh talking. I don't count her flesh. I discount it. Just like God does. I'm not a legalist. I don't want her legalistically to be nice to me. Peg, do you love me? No. Okay, very good. Now, how are we going to make it then? I don't know. It's a problem. Well, maybe you should die. You know, die. If you die, you won't sin anymore. What kind of death are you thinking of? And we'll have these very interesting discussions because, you know, I believe Peggy's the perfect wife. I believe she's the perfect wife. So since I believe that, I refuse to listen to anything else that disagrees with that. I believe you're the perfect people. I just believe I'm at home. Now, if you believe like I believe, you got a lot of work to do in the closet before you come out in the public. Do you understand what I'm saying? I got to spend a lot of time in the closet in order to spend a little bit of time out there in the world. Because otherwise, their snakes would get my snakes, and we'd just really have a time of it. Y'all with me? I have to do it. I am so wicked by nature. I mean, everybody is, but I'm just saying I don't hide mine. But I'm so wicked by nature, naturally, that I just got to spend a lot of time with Jesus to kill all those snakes off so I can even get out in public at all. Joyce, I feel like you're similar to me. I mean, you have to spend a lot of time with Jesus confessing and getting clean, right? Yeah. So I feel like Joyce is okay because she's a snake killer like me. But only Jesus can do that, Barbara.
The most amazing thing to me about God is that He is faithful enough to do that.
He is. And
I can't see it.
Right.
It just goes right over my head, and then He just will immediately come in.
That's it. Yeah. Yeah. That's it. That's it. That's it. You see, Jesus is not bothered by all your snakes. When we've killed His Son, His response is love. He's not suppressing Himself. It's not like He's ready to kill me, but He just decides to be a good Christian and not do it. No, He knows you just killed His Son, but He already knew that. So He came expecting to be bit. He wanted the snake to bite His heel so that His heel could crush the serpent's head. So you begin as a Christian to realize, I want people to be their worst. Doesn't bother me. Doesn't bother me because they are their worst anyway. Do you hear what I'm saying? So I'm not wanting behavioral modification. I want people to modify their behavior. I mean, I don't care if you do or you don't. I'm not trying to talk anybody into being meaner than you already are. All I'm saying is, I already know you're mean. I already know you're nasty. I don't need you to act it out to know that you're there. It's just a lot of you are having trouble admitting that you have snakes that come out. You're embarrassed by your snakes. Why? That's why Jesus came, right? But a legalist pretends, is just a big pretender, like they don't have anything like that. You're angry. You have an anger problem. Everybody here has an anger problem. Everybody. You are bitter. Everybody here is a bitter person. You know, all the sins are common. So whatever you catch that morning in the closet, that's the same thing you're going to encounter that day with people. So if your sins have been forgiven, she that hath been forgiven much, loveth much. And a lover is someone who can be with someone who hates them and keep loving them until their hatred is spent.
Amen.
And you find and discover their love. Because after they've done their worst, you're still surviving. Love always wins. Love always prevails. Hatred loses every time. It's just that most people don't have any love. So they quit. Love endures all things. Love believes all things. Love hopes all things. Love never ends. It never fails. It never quits. It never stops. I've never given up on anybody. Ever. 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 Never. I will go to the nth degree and lose my life in Africa or America or any place. Because I just don't give up. Never quit. Never discouraged. Never tired. Never anything. That's Jesus. But that's what Jesus did for me. It's not virtue on my part. That's what Jesus did for me. The legalist is working, number 8, to please God because he believes God's hard on him and demanding. He is therefore hard on other people, but only because he is hardest on himself. So all the Pharisees were legalists. What that meant was they didn't hate Jesus, they hated themselves. When they killed Jesus, they were just killing themselves. That's how much they hated themselves. Those were psychologically sick people. Religious people are sick people. Did you hear what I just said? They're sick. Those Pharisees were sick, and Jesus would tell jokes to them to prove how sick they were. He would say, well, you know, it's like straining out some gnats and swallowing camels. I'm telling you, a legalist hates that kind of thing. They discerned, it says in the Bible, and they discerned he was talking about them. You know, I mean, that is humor. That is human. That's Jesus. I know you don't think of Jesus as cracking a joke, but he was joking, meaning he was saying something funny there. Is here they are straining out little gnats. That didn't get in. And then they're swallowing camels. That is funny. Or putting a new patch on an old garment and then watch the thing rip as soon as the water hits it or whatever. Or putting new wine in an old wineskin that's stiff already and it won't expand. When it starts to expand, boom, it explodes. You lose the wine and the wineskin. Jesus is trying to tell you something there in humor. Anybody who's worked with wine knows that is not funny when it happens, but it's funny when you talk about it. So Jesus is just saying, that's how silly you are. That's how funny you are. You're not mocking God. God knows what you're thinking, what you're feeling, where you are. So every day I want to work on all my feelings, all my thoughts, all my emotions. I want to work on all that until they're all under Jesus. I don't want one thought to be free. Y'all with me? I don't want to live my own life. I already tried that and it stinks. I already tried that. Nobody liked it anyway, but I didn't like it either. So it just didn't work. It didn't give me the happiness or the peace or the joy that I was looking for. So, but Jesus loving me, woo, boy, that is it. That is ecstasy. That is pleasure. That is sweetness. Did you ever dance with Jesus? I mean, it is just too freeing. So when you fall in love, I tell you, when you're in love, ooh, this is different than a human being that loves you conditionally. This is an unconditional love, never can change. Jesus Christ can never change his mind. He said, I think I've changed my mind. You sinned 7 times today. That irks me. I'll tell you, a 7-timer like that, that's too much. Jesus never does that. He won't change his mind. Once he says he loves you, he knows everything about you, so he could never change his mind because it's based upon total knowledge of you. He knows everything you're going to think and say and do for the rest of eternity. And if he chooses you, he can't then back up and say, well, I've changed my mind because of what you just did. He knew that from the beginning. When he married me, he knew everything about me. When I got married, I didn't know anything about anything. I was a complete idiot. I didn't know anything. I knew nothing. And today I know nothing. I'm just a complete idiot. I have been consistent. I will say that. I've been consistent. I've been an idiot from the beginning, and I have not improved. But I've fallen in love with Jesus. The only thing different about our marriage is Jesus. That's it. Jesus entered into the picture, changed everything. Changed everything. Peggy didn't do the changing. I did. She didn't do any changing. She didn't do any changing. I did all the changing. It's not because she couldn't have and shouldn't have. It's just that she didn't. I did. And I just fell in love. But I fell in love first with Jesus. We love because he first loved us. And whatever Jesus showed me, then I did it the same to her. And it didn't matter how she treated me. It's okay. I liked it. Didn't bother me at all, just like Jesus. Now, if you can't say that you're just like Jesus, then you've never met him. When I met Jesus, it altered me. It changed me. Not only did it change my heart, it changed my soul. It changed everything about me, my behavior. It changed everything. It totally changed me. And I don't think that's happened to everybody. And somehow people get saved, or whatever they call saved, just regenerated, but then they never grow in their souls. They never change their emotions. I was fearful before. I'm never fearful now. Never. I was full of fear. It controlled me. It dominated me. It paralyzed me. But nobody saw it. I hid it, but nobody saw it. But I knew it. Fear is fierce. It's paralytic. It will destroy you. But when you fall in love with Jesus, perfect love casts out fear. All of a sudden, you're not afraid, and I could open my arms up. See, before I didn't. It's like, be careful. I mean, Peggy would try to get close to me, and it's like, whoa, what are you doing? Whoa, what's going on here? I didn't want her. Don't get close. Don't get close. You're like my mother. You're trying to smother me. Now, watch out. You are my mother. I didn't fall for her, and I'm not going to do it. You're not getting in. I know what you got in mind. I don't know what this love thing is thing or getting close. I don't even know what you're talking about. Just stay back. Stay away. I hated love. I didn't want him to be loved. You understand? Because I knew her love was conditional. If I would have said, I love you, she wanted it twice. Then she'd want it 3 times. I knew, no, this is like a trap. You don't want me just to love you once. You want me to love you over and over again until I don't even have a life. You'll suck up all my life. I won't have any life left. But when Jesus loves you, you know what? He gives. He never takes. Amazing. I thought he might turn me into a legalist, a doer, a worker. No, he turned me into, Jim, just rest. Just relax. What? What? Are you Jesus? I'm used to Moses. I didn't know Jesus. I didn't understand that. Did y'all meet him? He's sweet. Precious. I don't know why he likes me. What on earth would he find in me? There's nothing comely in me. Ugly and nasty and bitter. I just love Jesus. He just so... But it's because he first loved me. Never met anybody that unconditionally liked me. I mean, when I was little, I was always the last one to get picked. You know, and they would look right at me and look right past me. You know, it's like, see, is there no one else that we can pick? Okay, you go ahead. You know, it's because, you know, I was just always a leftover and just that was awful. Do we have anybody else here? Could I be on the team? You know, and I'll work hard. I swear, I will. I'll work hard. It's just people hate you. Don't you think that's funny? You're a total reject. You see, you have to fix yourself up to sell yourself. You know, if you want to do that, okay. Now, there's tricks and ways you can do it, and I did. I tried all the tricks and ways I could do it, and it worked. But it's not worth anything, because you have to work really hard to keep dancing, you know. You know, are we okay? Is it working? You know, you going to leave now? I'll dance one more time. You know, people just want too much.
And the ironic part was you were picked before the beginning of time.
Yes. God saw me before I was in the womb. You know, I was born out of wedlock, all that kind of stuff, the abortion, all that stuff. But God protected me, saved me, loved me. Thank God. You know, that to me, I can't comprehend it to this day. It is amazing to me that I survived, that I made it, and I'm a lover now. And I don't care about people. People don't mean anything to me. This world means nothing, period, over, out. Doesn't mean anything. I don't even believe in this world. But I'm here, totally at home, totally, totally at home with anybody. I can be at the homosexual church next door. I'm okay. I can be in prison. I'm okay. I can be with the wealthy people. I'm okay. I don't care who I'm with. Doesn't make any difference. I'm totally at home. Because I know who I am. I'm His beloved. I know what I have is greater than what anybody else has. I'm not wanting. I don't lust for anything they have. There's nothing anybody can give me. I'm not intimidated by what they have. It doesn't impress me. I don't want it. Doesn't scare me. If they threaten me, do it. Now, that's important for you to be discipled, disciplined, to become just like Jesus. And that means to the death. That means you'd be willing to throw your life away for your wife, or your neighbor, or a bum on the street, or someone over a pygmy in Africa. It doesn't make any difference. Just throw your life away. It's nothing. But I got to make sure it's Jesus. I don't mind throwing it away. I just want to make sure it's Jesus. I don't want to accomplish anything. As far as I'm concerned, I'm finished. It's over with. But if I'm going to stay another day, I want to do whatever Jesus wants me to do, because that's the best life there is.
Yeah.
I don't believe anymore I can win or conquer or whatever. I don't believe I have to, because I've already gotten there. I'm already there. I'm there. I'm already celebrating. I've met the maker of the universe, the savior of the world, and you know His spirit's within me. It's over for me. So I don't need to win. I never need to convince anybody. I don't care if people like me or hate me. It doesn't make any difference because I'm finished. Now, you ought to be finished. You need to make home run after home run until you realize it's over. Then you can have fun. Once you're dead, you can live. Once the worst thing can happen to you is over, then you can have fun. Let's do a few more and then we'll quit. A loving parent never wants his child to pay, P-A-Y, for his sin. A loving parent never wants his child to pay for his sin. This is a picture of God. Predestination, as taught in Calvinism, is a lie. God could never choose hell for anyone, because He said, "I desire not the death of any sinner." And there's a bunch of other scriptures. 11. We know that God's loving nature not only created us in the first place, saved us in the second place, created, saved, but also that he transforms us, created, saved, transforms, by his indwelling power in the third place. So he created us, then he saved us, then he transforms us by his power. The more we know about God, 12, as a holy Father, as a merciful Savior, and God as his powerful presence with us, holy Father, merciful Savior, and Holy Spirit presence, the more we are changed. The more we know about God as a holy Father, he hates sin, but he loves you, merciful Savior, forgives you, and powerful Holy Spirit, he's the one that changes you, the more we are changed into his likeness and image, or image and likeness. 13, God's holiness convicts us of sin. God's holiness, now this is the first part you're learning about a holy Father, merciful Savior, and a powerful Holy Spirit. God's holiness convicts us of sin. Apart from him, that's the first change. He convicts us of righteousness, that's the second change, by our faith in his dying Son, or his Son dying and rising for us. That's the second change. And God's powerful presence through his Holy Spirit convicts us that we have the ability to do all things whatsoever he commands us, because Christ is in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. That's the third change. So now, you see those three changes. And I'm going to close really with this, because this is important. Get this down. God, the word God, is not Trinity, because there's no word Trinity in the Bible. But don't worry about that. It has three. So whether you call it Trinity or three, doesn't matter. There's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So those three are all aspects of one. Love has three faces: holy, merciful, mighty. Holy, merciful, mighty. I'm going to write it on the board so that you can see this is what God is all about. God is love, and love has three faces. So I'm going to write here, God is love. God is love, L-O-V-E, and love has three faces. First of all, it's holy, and the holy does something. Then it's merciful, and the merciful does something. And then his face changes again, a third time, and it becomes powerful, mighty. All right, now, those three faces, holy, merciful, powerful, and so on, those three faces are all the face of love. Love always starts out with holiness, that hates sin, and then it goes to mercy, that covers the sin, and then it goes to power, that changes us so that we don't sin. So, everything you need in life is right there in God. Everything you need in life. First thing you need in life is someone to expose you. To expose you. The greatest blessing of God is not his mercy, it's his exposure. You need his holiness more than you need his mercy. Because his holiness tells you you're sick, you're bad, you're evil, you're nasty, you're shallow. And that, most people don't know that. So if you don't know that, why would you ever go and get his mercy? You don't even need his mercy unless you first have his holiness. So that's why Moses precedes Jesus. The holiness of God is seen in Moses. Be good, don't be bad. And even the world has that. They don't even need Moses. You don't even need Moses to know you're supposed to be good and not bad. The whole world understands that. That righteousness is good and unrighteousness is bad. The whole world knows that. That's just reasonable, and that just your conscience tells you that. So everybody knows that. That's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Don't be bad, be good. But the truth is, I don't even know what good is. I have no idea what good is. That's why you can't eat of that tree. But the tree at least tells me there's good and evil, but I don't know what good and evil is. I thought evil was, you know, punching your neighbor out. I didn't know it was not believing in Jesus. How's that evil? I thought being a good Buddhist was good, and I didn't know that was evil. You see, the world doesn't know anything. They are completely messed up because Jesus has to redefine every word, every term. So the first thing I need to know is that no man, no flesh ever has pleased God, and God hates flesh. That's the first thing I need to learn. Is, wow, then there's no hope. I mean, having heard that message, it's over. Except that God has a second face. As soon as you get the first face down, he goes, whoa, where are you going? Well, I thought I was dead. Well, you're not dead yet. You're talking to me. Stay right here. Well, what now? Well, I wanted to forgive you. You what? I thought you wanted to kill me. Well, I know, but I killed Jesus instead. Oh, well, thanks. So you mean I'm going to live? As long as you have faith in me. Yeah, you got it. I got it. Whatever it is, whoever you are, yes. See, if I really believe I'm wicked and sinful and I can't save myself and I'm on my last leg and someone says, take one of these and you'll live, I'm going to take it. Because otherwise I'm dead. If somebody throws me an inner tube and I go, you know, I'm about to drown right now and I hate brown inner tubes. Could you have a pink one? I'm going to take whatever he gives me because I'm drowning. You see what I'm saying? I'm not going to argue about it. Well, that's not my favorite color. Those things don't count all of a sudden. All that matters is you're perishing, you're going to die, and His holiness tells you, you don't have a hope. You are sinful, wicked, you're going to perish. God hates sin, and you're one of them. Oh, man, I'm ruined. But then the minute I get that down, and I just go, oh, wow, woe is me. And He goes, wait a minute, not done yet. Got another face. Bing. He shows you another face. It's mercy. It's non sequitur. I mean, what's the relationship of the first face to the second face? Why did the first face not finish me off? But the love of God won't let me see the first face without seeing the second face. Buddha would, but Jesus won't. And so He shows me the second face of the merciful Savior, and I go, well, what do I have to do that? Nothing. Wow, that's better than your first face. I don't do nothing. No, you could kill me. That's about all you could do. Well, yeah, I can do that. And then what? I'd forgive you. You would? Well, I've never been loved like that. Well, what for? You see, that second face blows me away. I don't understand love. I didn't know that love exposed me, and then I didn't know that love would save me. And then after that, that's not even enough. So now I've seen all my sin, I've seen my salvation, but then it's still more. It's, whoa, Jim, where are you going? Well, I was happy that you loved me. Well, wait a minute, you got work to do. Work? Oh, man, I thought I couldn't do any work. You can't. Oh, well, I thought Jesus did all my work. He did. But now He wants to live in you. Live in me? Oh, no. I'm not good at working. You just showed me I couldn't work. Yeah, but now, but this is Jesus in you working. Oh, He's going to do it all? Yeah. He'll be in you and willing to do. Oh, okay, all right. So I'm not going to have to do anything, right? Right, otherwise I'd have to condemn you. Oh, okay, all right. I don't have to do anything because you condemn anything I do. Right. And Jesus did it all for me, yes. And now Jesus is going to live inside of me through the Holy Spirit, and He's going to will and do. Well, it's good because I don't have any will in me, and I don't have any do in me. I've never had a will, and I've never had a do. You know what I'm saying? This is the third face of God, is to say, anyone He's forgiven, He fills with the Holy Spirit. And anyone that's proud, He kills. But anyone that's forgiven, He fills. I don't know how it works, but I like this picture of God. I like it because when I'm with God, the Holy One, I see all my sin. And then I'll have a leg to stand on. I'm humbled. Then as soon as I'm humbled, He exalts me. And He says, Jim, by the way, I wanted to marry you. I thought you just killed me. Yeah, but now I'd like to marry you. Now that you're resurrected, I'll resurrect you. You do? How come? I don't know. I'm just tickled pink over you. You are? Well, what did I do? You didn't do anything. You just killed me. Oh. And now you want to marry me? Yeah, I like your spunk. I like your style. You know. And God, I don't get it. I don't. What is it that's lovable? Nothing. So then why do you want to love me? Why don't you start with an angel or something? I don't know. Just my dad's original idea is that I should marry you. So you're still stuck on me? Yep. But I'll have to kill you again. I have to do some changing in you. Well, do I have to help? No, you can't help. Okay, well, it's okay. Okay, we'll do it. And so Jesus he does this everything. I don't even know how it's all working. All I know is I like it. All right, it all comes out, I win. You know, when I was a sinner, I wanted to win. Now that I'm a Christian, I got more than I was looking for when I was a sinner. I mean, He didn't even rebuke me for that. He just said, Jim, you know what you're looking for, happiness and all that, you're not going to get it. Tell you what, I got another whole deal for you. Let me show you all your sin. Well, I don't see how that's going to add happiness. Well, it's not. But let me show you all your sin, and then I'll show you all my salvation, and then I'll show you all my power. That's love. Love doesn't quit until you're walking in the power of the Holy Spirit all the days of your life. You got that? You see, most people only want to quit at number one. That's Catholic. The Catholics are that. They're the holiness, big for holiness. You got to be holy. You got to go to Mass every day. You got to do this, you got to do that, and so on. So they're into that, so I just feel condemned. Most Catholics are depressed. They're not that happy.
They got the guilt part right.
They got the guilt part right. They do. Because they know they never did anything right, and look at Jesus hanging up there because they did that, too.
People say, I hate the Catholics, and they feel guilty.
Right.
That served a purpose.
Yeah, it served a purpose. So that's why they got Jesus hanging up there bleeding. It's kind of like, you think you got problems, buddy? Look at him. And that's you. You did that. You know, so you just go, you don't go away happy. You don't leave a Catholic church. This is the day. You know, you don't leave it that way. You leave pretty low because you realize, well, I did that. I killed God's son. I better be careful. Mary, sorry, I'm not going to try to. You know, and so you are really low down there. But they got the sin part down. But now the Protestants, they've got the saved part down. They don't want to see the sin part. They just want to get you saved without the sin part. But that's wrong. You got to see the sin first. Catholics has to come first. See, the holiness is first. Moses is first. Then comes along Jesus. Then comes along Pentecost with the Holy Spirit. The problem with the Catholic Church is it stops. The problem with the Pentecostals is they don't have anything behind them. The problem with the Protestants is they're in the middle and they don't have anything in front or behind. So, you know, you got to have the whole thing, and then we'll start with this next time. But this powerful, if you understand the love of God won't quit until you're just like God. Until you have the same image, the same likeness, the same joy, the same peace, the same everything. I'll tell you, it's powerful, and you don't have to do a thing. You can't do a thing. All right, let's close in prayer. Father God, we give you the praise, we give you the glory for discipling us, making us into the image and likeness of Jesus. And we pray, Lord God, that you're not only in us to will to be holy, but to the ability to do, to be able to walk, to be led of the Spirit of God, just like Jesus, just like Paul, Peter, just like your saints. And I thank you, Lord God, that the best is yet to come. We're not finished yet. The end has come, and instead of us going out of business, we're just getting started. We're not done yet. It's not over with yet. We get a clear picture now of what it is you always wanted. And so we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. And everybody said,
don't lose that. Okay, we'll pick up here tomorrow. We'll pick up here next Sunday night. Jim's like, tomorrow? Yeah, we're going to do this one fast. All right, let's bow our heads. Father, we just thank you as we just give our tithes and our offerings this evening. We thank you that we're just completely